This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Friday evening. I'd like to start off today, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm shocked that you would cast aspersions on people's looks when you're hideous in your own right.
And then I'd also, if I can, like to say good evening to Don.
Well, that's awesome.
And then I'd also like to say, if I can, yes, take the camera off of me for a moment because I have to get the charger. I have to stand up and get my charger to plug in my phone or I won't have any video. But I do have a bit of interesting information here live from the D.C. area. I have been told that my father wants to participate in the cricket eating.
How so?
I'm in Maryland, and my father wants to eat the crickets with me. Now, understand, he's a lunatic. He probably just thinks they sound good. Do you guys want him to be a part of this, or do you
well,
want me to do it?
How can he be a part of it? You're going to be home on Monday, and we're not having
no,
it
I won't.
Now.
I'm not going to be home on Monday. I'm going to be in Maryland. It's being sent here.
I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, but you know, it's good for your dad. I don't want to if he wants to enjoy it.
But it doesn't.
What that does for anybody?
you're not for it or against it.
No, yeah. It doesn't move me either way.
Okay, you just want crickets in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Rosh Hashanah, by the way, to everyone out there.
It's being shipped to your Manhattan address, so it can't happen.
No, it is. Why? I told Andrew specifically I wouldn't be there. You know what? Make me a bad guy. It's fine.
He said they've been shipped to your Manhattan apartment. It's too late.
Okay. Well, so do you want me to cut my trip short? Otherwise, I'm a bad guy. And
No. We don't want it on Monday anyway. Monday's
okay,
a full day.
All right.
We could have it on Tuesday.
All right.
Tuesday.
All right, guys. Well, lots to get to when it comes to professional football. The Jets are down another weapon. Remember Jamison Crowder?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, a memory for this week. He will not be with Sam Darnold and company this weekend. Hurt his hamstring over the weekend. Crowder is coming off of his first 100-yard receiving game as a Jet, but he is out with the hamstring. So, in a matter of days, the Jets, who already struggled mightily last weekend offensively, are now down their two best weapons for Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell, and Jamison Crowder.
Now, has that moved the number at all?
That's a good question. How much would it really move it, though? Would each one of them even move it?
Well, I mean, you're already out Bell. You're out. I guess Perryman would probably be their best receiver, but
that's
still,
correct.
I mean, their one big play last week happened with Crowder.
Correct. Not good.
Interesting.
That line now, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, would be 7. They have it at 7.
So moved a half point.
Right. Not too big a deal. Should be interesting. Should be very, very, very interesting to see. Let's keep it in the NFL for a second, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
Well, first of all, Don, last week Michael wasn't with us, but we went over some of the TV situations that we have this coming week. And I'd like to do that. If you don't mind. It's not the sexiest. It's not the absolute sexiest week of games that you'll get.
The worst week I've ever seen.
Now, when you said that earlier, were you referring to the quality of games or just the picks or both?
Picks.
Because it's also just not a particularly, you know.
Well, all the sexy matchups have been taken for prime time, right?
That's right. That's what you'll find out. Especially that beauty last night between the Browns and the Bengals, 35-30. So here's what you end up getting on Sunday. In the 1 o'clock slate, you have the Giants-Bears game, which I think we all would agree. If you're not a Giants or Bears fan, no real interest there. By the way, that would be a CBS vehicle, guys. It's one of the old trade-offs between CBS and Fox, okay. AFC for NFC. Fox will have Falcons-Cowboys for you. Not a horrid game, but not one you're sprinting to see. Lions-Packers, 1 o'clock on Fox. Jaguars-Titans. Michael, I know you're very excited.
Titans.
Vikings-Colts. Again, it's just a blah day. Bills-Dolphins, 1 o'clock. The 49ers-Jets. Andrews-Rams-Eagles game is not horrifying.
I was going to say.
That's not bad.
I thought about picking that game. Just because you figure Donald is just going to be in the backfield. The way that Eagles offensive line is banged up.
Yeah.
But that 1.5 kind of scared me because I think it should be. I can almost see the Rams being a favorite. I understand across country and all that, but and I just kind of stayed away. But that does intrigue me because the Eagles start 0-2. It's panic time at the disco, no?
Is it, though, in
no,
this division?
No, because the Cowboys lost already.
Yeah, and
this the Washington football team's going nowhere.
Really? In this division, we've learned that, yeah, Don, I don't know if there's a lot of pressure early. You know? This thing doesn't get decided till late December.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're right. But, listen, I don't think the Giants are going to be in contention for the division, but their loss came out of conference. Right? The Eagles are 0-1, but you know they lost a game in the division.
True.
You know, and if they start 0-2, then that's two losses in conference. So I'm not saying that they can't overcome it, but there's a little bit of a difference there.
Also, 1 o'clock games on CBS. You have the Broncos and the Steelers, the Panthers and the Bucks, and then only two 4 o'clocks, The 425 Nationals, I'm guessing, there's Chiefs-Chargers and there's Ravens-Texans. Those are 425. And then, of course, I'll be dialed into Washington football and the Cardinals at 405. Sexiest game of the weekend would be your Sunday nighter. And Dom, this is Jessica Rabbit, in my opinion. It would be Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. The two oldest coaches in the NFL, Bill Belichick, your second oldest coach, taking on Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. That's right, quarterbacked by Mr. Unlimited. That's your Sunday nighter.
Did you hear what Belichick said about Wilson? I've never heard him so effusive about another player.
He loves the guy.
Oh, he said, I don't know how you stop him. He said, I don't know how there's anybody better.
Other than the awkwardness of him socially, what's not to like with the quarterback?
Oh, my. No, he's...
No, he's great.
I hate playing the Seahawks. I hate playing the Russell Wilson Seahawks. It's like every time, if anyone out there listening can relate to this, the team you're rooting for is playing the Seahawks, particularly out there, it's terrifying, but anywhere. If you have them on a 3rd and 10... Every time when your team's trying to stop or contain Russell Wilson, you feel like the plays never end. Do you know what I mean, Don? It's like you have him back there, and you're like, all right, we got it. We're out. We got out of the 3rd and 10. And they're like, wait a second. He's on the way. I mean, he just constantly has options. He's always looking downfield. He can always take off. He's always so sure-footed. He's just...
Is there anything worse from a fan standpoint? Big third. It could be a 3rd and long.
No, nothing worse. I know where you're going. Nothing worse.
And you got him. You're sacking him. The huge momentum changes field, everything.
And your body accepted that it happened. You had
right.
it. You've wrapped him up.
And he eludes the rush. And then, and here's the thing that just drives you crazy. Doesn't bust at 10 yards past the first down marker. No. Gets out of bounds like an inch past it. Where there's even that second, like maybe he stepped out before.
But you know he did.
That
you know
just drives
did.
You crazy. Because at least when he's scrambling past the first down marker, you're like, your body kind of accepts it. All right, we've got to regroup. But just that all that work, and he just gets to the marker before he gets hit out of bounds. Oh, boy, that stinks.
By the way, Saints Raiders would be your Monday nighter.
I'll tell you what, that would be sexy, borderline sexy, if there would be fans in Vegas, right? Because there'd be that
yep.
curiosity of the first game, first pro football game in
and
Vegas
Monday night,
and all that.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just a weird nothing.
I bet you that stadium is beautiful.
Matt Stafford wrote an interesting article for the Players Tribune. He wrote an essay about experiencing racism recently firsthand through the eyes of his teammates. He said that he went to have a private workout with Danny Amendola at a random field that he had prearranged. He had no issues. They went. They worked out. The next week, he did the exact same thing, worked out the same permissions, showed up to the same field with four black teammates, and he said, quote, "We were just starting to dump all the balls out on the field, and some of the guys were still stretching when a gentleman came out and told us that we were trespassing and to leave immediately. We didn't even have our cleats on yet. I remember I was standing there in my socks, just kind of stunned and confused. Like, what? But he didn't even want to listen. We were still gathering up the footballs and trying to figure out another spot where we might be able to go when he pulled out his cell phone." Cool and interesting to get that perspective from Matt Stafford. Unfortunate, of course, that stories like that are all too common. Even if you're a professional athlete. Doesn't matter. But neat that Stafford wrote the piece for the Players Tribune.
And it's probably something where the person that did that, you know, the day before would say, I'm not racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I love black people. But the instinct that, there's four black men, that something's got to be wrong.
Yeah, they don't even realize that they're being racist because it's so deep in there.
And I think that's why it's so difficult to convey that to people who think there's no problem. Because that person the day before may have been someone to think, I don't see the systematic racism. I don't get it. I'm not that way. I would never do that, right? And maybe they would honestly believe that in their heart. Like that would be terrible to do. But in that particular moment, the instinct kicked in for him that there's got to be something wrong. And then that's the issue. That's what people aren't understanding, is that there are people out there that just, when they see that, their mind automatically goes to something negative, where if it had been three black men and a white man, then it wouldn't have gone there. So doesn't that tell you that there's an issue?
Yeah, you would think so, but people just don't. They're not capable of looking at it that way. They don't want to push themselves. Chris Godwin, the Bucs wide receiver, is in concussion protocol. He is doubtful to play. You guys obviously both knew that. You both picked the Bucs.
Yeah, because their other wide receiver is playing.
Mike Evans.
Right.
Hopefully Gronk knows there's a football game this week.
They're loaded. I mean, listen, he's made a living out of not having the greatest receivers, right? I mean, I think they can get by that.
Fans or no, Packers running back Aaron Jones says he's leaping at Lambeau. He said, "You will definitely see a Lambeau leap from me. Probably right on one of those tarps. Just got to pick which one or wherever I score at the location I'm at, it's going to be that one. Definitely different seeing it, though, replacing the fans and just the tarp. Definitely not the Lambeau we're used to." But
there's no fans in Lambeau, right?
Correct.
Because there were fans in Cleveland last night. Let's say they allow like 22%, and there are fans there, would he leap?
Well, it's a good question. Very good question.
As we saw in Kansas City, there could be a fan that's smacking on top of the helmet and hugging you that could be infected, right?
I don't understand the joy, though, of the leap if they're not leaping into the arms of somebody. It's like doing a high five with a ghost. Well, who cares?
Well, it's still the principle, though.
Yeah, it's kind of symbolic. If I'm a Packer fan, I think I get that, right? I think that'd be cool.
Fugazi.
I don't want to get hurt.
I like it, though. So I'll tell you what I didn't like last night.
What's that?
That would be the Celtics blowing a 17-point lead in the second half.
Do you appreciate this, the greatness of the game that didn't get you through? It's only game two.
No. See, it's not the same. A, it wasn't great. It was just miserable. Right. And I'm like, in one sense, if you're just randomly watching a game you don't care about, right, you love now that the NBA, a 20-point lead means nothing, right? If you're randomly watching a game, Don, you just throw it on. And you're like, oh, it's a 20-point game. Back in the day, that meant it was over, okay? Do you remember? You'll remember this because you're a Nets fan of Jace. Do you remember in the conference finals when the Celtics came back from 27 down against the Nets?
Absolutely. I believe that game was on a Saturday.
It was a Saturday afternoon, and it was a gigantic deal because the Celtics with Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce came all the way back. It was one of the biggest comebacks in playoff history. Don, that wouldn't even be a news story anymore.
No. You're
that's
right.
Just like a third
that's a
quarter.
Good point. That's a good point.
And that's what happened to the Celtics yesterday. I blink. They were up 17 points. I blink. And ironically, yesterday, Kemba Walker was much better than he had been. They blow a lead. They lose it late. And then supposedly melt down. Marcus Smart, after the game in the locker room, there were supposedly sounds of things getting thrown, screaming, clanging, etc. Here's our own Stephen A. Smith talking about the Celtics post-game meltdown.
In the aftermath of the game, Marcus Smart got into it. He was going off on a team, and Jaylen Brown stepped up and told him to calm down. We all a team. Let's come together, etc., etc. And they ultimately got into it. It was really about Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown to some degree getting into a heated discussion. Jaylen Brown more so trying to calm him down, and Marcus Smart going to hell off. He didn't like the fact that he was called out for taking an ill-advised three when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were both shooting field, or in Jason Tatum's case, shooting 50% from the field. Jaylen Brown shooting 57% from the field and 50% from three-point range. Yet this Marcus Smart, who has been making threes, who made a couple last night, took an ill-advised three, and some folks had to talk to him about that. He didn't appreciate that as well from what I heard. But in the end, it's something that ultimately will blow over. That kind of stuff happens.
Here's Jason Tatum of the Celtics on reports of the Smart locker room yelling situation.
Was it really Smart?
We 0-2. We frustrated. But, that's team sports. You're not supposed to be happy we down 0-2. But nothing out of the ordinary. Just talking about the game. It's cool. Gotta get ready for the next one.
Now, you're a big Celtic expert, Peter. What was Pete Buttigieg doing at this point?
Pete Buttigieg spoke on it. He ended up having a meeting late last night. You're talking about, of course, Brad Stevens. He did have a late-night meeting with the core of the Celtics to work things out. I'll just tell you this right now. You guys tell me how you feel as a fan of if it was your team. I have no issues with this. I want to see this. I want to see a meltdown after you lose a heartbreaker in game one, blow a lead in game two, in a year in which you could be staring a trip to the finals. It's right there for you. And it's not like they're outmatched by the Heat. I'm not saying they're better than the Heat. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. But they have every right to win this series. They should be freaking out being down 0-2. And by the way, Marcus Smart is the hardest working player on the team. His energy is what drives the team. He's kind of supposed to be the guy who has a meltdown. So as long as they figure it out afterwards, do you guys have any big issue with something like that happening after a game like that?
Well, it wouldn't be that such a big loss, though, if that great, enjoyable block didn't happen, Peter.
I know.
But down 0-2, Peter, I mean, what does it matter? I mean, maybe it brings them together, they win. You know, if they lose, the series is pretty much over anyway. I mean, at this point.
No, they should be mad. I don't mind.
They should be mad, but in the situation that you know you're in, where you're not getting, there's no change in venue. You know, down 2-0, it's desperate times.
I want to know who was listening, though. I mean, there's no media, so who heard it?
They heard out in the hallways. I don't know. By the way,
why are they even in the hallways? They're not allowed. They're not allowed in the locker room.
It was report. I know, and everyone hears everything, and then everyone reports it. Oh, everyone heard. People heard.
Now, Peter, I do have to get a sponsored element out of the way. Do you mind if I squeeze it into the end?
Please, no. Go ahead.
Today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Nissan and Big Low T. This is who they send up against the Red Sox. And this is I think, your playoff lineup. Second baseman DJ LeMahieu, right fielder Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, the DH, hits third. Cleaning up, first baseman Luke Voit. Gleyber Torres at short, batting fifth.
Gleyby.
Batting sixth and playing center field, Aaron Hicks.
Hicks.
Gio Urshela at third base, bat seventh. Batting eighth and catching, Gary Sanchez. And Clint Frazier, who had about, I think, 16 straight games batting cleanup, is now batting ninth and playing left field. That's today's Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now, get great offers across their full line. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com and, of course, Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Jordan Montgomery gets the start. Please, Peter.
I can continue?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Well, RJ, I guess you can hit the button for Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
How'd he do today, Peter?
He didn't do well today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I would go as far as saying, I don't remember the last time he's played so badly. This is not, it's not what you want. You know who's in first place here, though, Kaster?
Who?
Fat Tiger, a.k.a. Patrick Reed. He's 4 under.
What's Tiger's number, though?
I don't really focus on where he is exactly. The bottom line is, why does this keep bringing me to a commercial for this? I believe he is at 11 over.
We have a lot of fun with Tiger, okay?
Yeah.
And it's funny to me how the golf experts, objective people, supposedly, just go gaga over Tiger.
Yeah.
And what I would say is this.
Go ahead.
When he won the Masters, right, that was the anomaly. He cannot do it on a steady basis. Physically, he's a shot player.
No.
He just can't do it. He can't practice enough to be great. His back can go at any moment. Everybody thought, oh, this is the beginning. He's going to catch Jack. He's gonna roll off a couple. How has he played since then? Think about it. Not this badly.
He's just another good golfer.
But he's not on the level of a Koepka at this point. He's just not.
No, he's not. So what? He's not.
But everybody, the thing that offended me, this is all the old Tiger is back. No, he's not. He physically can't be back. It's not that I'm rooting against him, and I don't take any joy in this. He's not that guy, but all the golf experts, they wanted it to be so badly that they tried to will it into being. He's not that guy.
But he did it.
He did it once.
But
that's the anomaly.
But he did it at the most important tournament.
And you know what? It's
pressure,
a great
he did it.
Cherry on top of the entire dessert. Great.
That's right.
But to expect him to do it again and again and again, how?
But
how is he going to do it?
Here's what I wonder in a truth serum type of moment. Like at the end of that cut that we always play for the Tiger Open, like the Tiger Watch, do you believe you compete at this level? Yes, because I just did it. I wonder if just doing that at the Masters is enough for him to now believe he can do it, or has what happened since then put some doubt in. I'm wondering if he's thinking to himself, was that just a one-off thing?
But I think you hit it, Don. Because he did it, he thinks he can do it, and he probably can do it on another magical weekend somewhere. But to think that this could be a consistent competitor to win majors, it's folly. His body won't allow it.
But why does it matter? I don't.
He's still the sport, though, so you can understand people that cover it that are kind of hanging on, like the Ian O'Connors of the world. They love golf, and they want it to be relevant. It's more relevant when Tiger's involved.
Correct.
And so they're going to kind of play it up, just like any sport, Michael. I mean, following hockey, Gretzky wasn't Gretzky at the end, but it's still Wayne Gretzky. So he got the benefit of the doubt. Jeter got the benefit of the doubt at the end of his career. There were a lot of times when you looked at it, should he have been in a lineup? You kept putting him in a lineup. Why? He's Derek Jeter. He's still relevant. People were rooting for him to do well.
But I don't have a problem. We have to say goodbye to Yes right now. They're going to their coverage of the Yankees games at 7:30 against the Red Sox.
So
I don't have a problem with Tiger. I have a problem with the people who cover golf who just were drooling over themselves when he did that and expected him to do it every single major.
No, well, they were
he
rooting.
Can't
they,
do
they,
it.
They were rooting. I think they
were rooting,
guilty.
And that offends me.
Right, they were guilty.
God.
But, you know, it's easy to feel that way when you cover a sport that will always, in some way, shape, or form, remain relevant. But you cover golf, and it's relevant when Tiger is good, when Tiger's great and he's involved. There's a lot of people that if he doesn't make the cut, they're out. What's the audience going to be on Saturday and Sunday with Tiger not in contention or not golfing at all? And so you don't think that's going to bother a lot of people that love their sport? I mean, listen, does it bother me as a hockey fan that the final is Tampa-Dallas instead of Chicago-New York? You think it would bother a lot of NBA fans? You don't think it would bother Stephen A. Smith if it was, you know, Memphis-Milwaukee in the final as opposed to Lakers-Celtics? You know, so that's you kind of rooting for your sport to be relevant. And let's face it, it's just not as relevant when Tiger's out.
I mean, it might not be as relevant across the board, but they've got some really interesting golfers now that people pay attention to.
Do they, though? That's the thing. I mean, I do.
Gorgeous I Brooks? DeChambeau?
Beautiful Brooksy, beautiful Bryson.
What's the rating on Sunday? The whoever the two best golfers are going at it, as opposed to what it would be if Tiger was in contention on Sunday.
Several, Don. I believe you're talking about a difference of a few million people,
right? Watching. Especially on an NFL Sunday, right? So Sunday, you might be just out. Like, oh, I like Koepka. He's a popular. He might have a chance to win. Whatever. But you know what? My football team's playing, or there's a football game on. I'm going to watch that. But if it's Tiger in contention, and listen, you cover it. You want what you cover to be relevant, Michael, right? I mean,
yeah, but you don't. I don't think I know how much you love hockey. You would not be blinded and say that something is not something. They had to know that Tiger's body, his back, it's been repaired several times. You've got to be able to practice to be great in golf. He can't be on the course all the time. I feel sorry for the guy because he can never get that consistent greatness again.
It's tough to compare it, Michael, because like team sports to individual sports, but you don't think that there are people that cover tennis that are just hoping that when they're covering a major that Serena.
Of course they
final. I don't mind them hoping, but I don't want them to tell us that Serena is Serena when she's 25. Don't offend me.
No, but
I don't think people say that.
Oh, Tiger's back. How many times are we Tiger's back?
But you can't deny that he was back when he won the biggest tournament. That doesn't mean he's permanently
back. But Tiger back means Tiger has to be dominant and he's going to win every single week. That's not Tiger back.
I don't even know if I understand the argument, but I love you both. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.